And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show. Goes way down south to Birmingham, up north to Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so the first part of the Triple Dipper, China imploding. Now, listen, this is being talked about on every news source. I mean, right now, it's out there. But what's happening is you're finding snippets of it here, snippets of it there, an angle on it here, an anecdote over there, social media, YouTube, whatever. And there's so much. So I went out and spent some time trying to gather in what I would consider to be a rather comprehensive view of some things that are happening from a variety of sources. It's pretty amazing. It's actually really amazing. Keep in mind, social upheaval that leads to the level of, I hesitate to use the word insurrection because that's been so abused by the Democrats since January 1st of 2021. But that leads to the point of societal change, let's put it that way. Sometimes can come on like a flash. Sometimes you see it brewing, you see tensions, you see, parties, political parties struggling or whatever, or you see unrest on a campus that grows out from there. Other times, though, it seems to catch on like a wildfire, and you can watch things happen almost in real time. So what we're seeing right now in China, for perspective here, those of you that remember 1989 Tiananmen Square, if you're not familiar with it, you need to go look it up, because that is still to this day considered a rallying cry for social unrest around the world. Tiananmen Square, remember Tiananmen Square, that kind of thing, against communism and tyranny. Well, what we're seeing right now, the level of protest, the level of social upheaval going on in China, which is a lockdown nation. I mean, one of the most locked down nations in the world. Now, North Korea, in my opinion, still has the true, copyright, if you will, on how to lock down a people and just have them do it like it's expected. China, on the other hand, has to issue martial law and enforce it. The people of North Korea, there's a great book, by the way, if you haven't seen it, on our website. On our website, rightsideradio.org, there's a recommended reading list, books that I've just found impactful over the years. One of them is called Escape from Camp 14. You want to read a book that talks about what it must be like to live in a country where the actual mindset of the people is subservience to the state. Read Escape from Camp 14. It's about a guy who grew up in a gulag in North Korea and then one day began to believe there must be something outside the wire that he'd never seen, and he escaped. So he's a North Korean that defected to South Korea. Amazing story. China, on the other hand, is a place where North Koreans try to escape too, believe it or not. That being said, what's happening right now in China is on a scale like we have not seen since the 1989 Tiananmen Square confrontation. The level of fight coming from the people, the level of protest, the level of crackdown by the state has not been seen to this level since 1989. And then even then, 89, there was not a whole lot of precedent for it before that. The perspective you might want to look at in terms of how fast these things can go is in more recent times is Libya. The failed state of Libya just fell apart with the fall of Gaddafi. You've got things like the Iranian Revolution when the Shah was overthrown by the Ayatollah's fundamentalism. We saw it brewing. It began to be unrest, but then all of a sudden, wha-bam, it happened. And next thing we know, we had Iranian hostages in the U.S. Embassy. You've got situations around the history of the world where the social uprising can just spark and just go. I don't know how far China will go on this, the Chinese people. I don't know. I mean, there are some experts that say, watch it, it could really go all the way. Others are saying, no, but it is bigger than usual. That's kind of the way it's at right now, where it's at right now. But here's the thing. It all comes from a denial of personal freedoms. One of the reasons why I was so inspired today to do that monologue that I did about what price victory is because we are literally, even though we get tired of big government, we get tired of things as conservatives, as civil libertarians, as people who care about, the fundamentals of freedom. Yeah, you and I doing the show every day, we can talk about that and sort of get irritated with it and talk about what we need to do. We have no idea what it's like to live in a place like China where they are not just doing 14 days to flatten the curve. They are literally creating entire zones of the nation where people are not allowed to leave their homes under threat of martial law, where they literally have drones flying over houses taking pictures to see if you're outside without a mask on, where they literally have surveillance cameras that already have your biometric data so they can then follow up to see who that was they saw getting groceries with their mask not on tight enough. They're doing that. That's what they're doing right now. They've got drones flying over the streets of Shanghai spraying a mist, and people don't know what it is, but allegedly it's a disinfectant of some type. I mean, what are they spraying, Lysol or something worse? I don't know. The people don't know. You can watch those, by the way, you can watch those drones on YouTube. It's amazing. All I'm saying is this, y'all, watch it. Watch it and go ahead and have a morbid fascination with it. Let it sink in what can happen if you let government keep getting bigger. But let it also sink in as to that is our biggest adversary on the world stage right now, China. That is the nation that allegedly has the Belt and Road policy and the long game in which they intend to become the world leader, which means supplanting us. So if that is the nation doing that to its own people, what would they do to another nation that they have had precedence over? If that is a nation that will do the things we're seeing to their own economy in the desperate desire for power and control, if they will do that to themselves to exert power and control over their own people, what will they do to world markets? What will they do to violations of foreign policy and international trade agreements? What will they do to monetary policy? What will they do to things like, protect themselves from the exposés that come from knowing that the Wuhan lab is very likely where COVID started? Interesting. Well, when you're a society that's locked down like they are right now, nobody can get in to really see much. And the level of censorship coming out of them. In a free and open society, you don't censor the internet like they do. It's one thing to take down child porn. It's another thing to take down anybody who will say the state was wrong, which they're doing. It's one thing to say, yeah, we're not going to allow you to violently disrupt the flow of government. It's another thing to say you're not allowed to have slogans that we disapprove of on signs. Think about it. So, yeah, what's happening right now is that story, the first thing I got here, AP News dated yesterday. China's Xi, that's the Premier Xi. China's Xi faces threats from public anger over his zero COVID policy. So here's the deal. They've got a plan, allegedly, to eradicate COVID in China. Now, you can't do that. That's like saying you're going to eradicate the common cold. It's a virus. Viruses don't get just eradicated. Viruses grow and mutate, and they thrive. And as Dr. Jordan Vaughn said on our show at one point, the goal of any virus is to adapt to find a host that can sustain it. The goal of a virus is not to kill itself by killing everything. It's to continue. That's why you see them adapt. They're adapting for their own survival, a virus is. However, that being said, China has a zero COVID policy, meaning they are trying to eradicate it inside their borders. So, story on AP. Barely a month after granting himself new powers as China's potential leader for life, Xi Jinping is facing a wave of public anger of the kind not seen for decades, sparked by his zero COVID strategy that is about to enter its fourth year. 4 years of this. 4 years. Demonstrators poured into the streets over the weekend in cities including Shanghai and Beijing, criticizing the policy, confronting police, and even calling for Xi to step down. By the way, you don't just call for Xi to step down without facing some repercussions. You're talking about the guy who can have you disappeared. That's what they call it. They call it being disappeared. It's an unusual way of saying the word, but in China, people are disappeared on a regular basis when the state police come to their house, take them away for so-called questioning, and they're never heard from again. They were just disappeared. Well, that can come from simply just questioning the state. On Monday, it says, demonstrators gathered in the semi-autonomous southern city of Hong Kong, where the pro-democracy movement was all but snuffed out by a harsh crackdown in 2019. Most protesters focus their angers on restrictions that confine families to their homes for months at a time. Months. Can you imagine? You're not talking about 14 days to flatten the curve. You can't go to church or you can't shop in the grocery store. We're talking about you can't leave your house for months at a time. Why? Because they say so. In a minute, I'm going to tell you what they did that caused the death of some people recently. That's what sparked all the major protests. It says the CCP has long imposed surveillance and travel restrictions on minorities like Tibetans and Uyghurs, more than a million of whom are being detained now, believed to be detained now in camps, because they won't renounce their own traditional cultures and religions and swear fealty to Xi. But this weekend's protests included many members of the educated urban middle class from the ethnic Han majority. So there's the Han majority is one of the ethnic groups that tends to be the upper middle class. They tend to be the ones who were more in charge of China. Well, even that segment of society is saying we've had enough. So Xi is on his heels a little bit, but Xi is cracking down. He recently, if you're not familiar, by the way, Xi is now the dictator for life, apparently. He's now setting up a dynasty. He's no longer a party guy. He's not a guy that is approved by the proletariat or the Politburo standing committees. He's literally appointed himself to a third 5-year term, which is unheard of, and it's believed that he's going to stay there as long as he feels like it. And so one expert says, since there are no longer so-called party divisions, kind of like Republican-Democrat, there's no infighting in the Politburo because he replaced his opposition with loyalists and appointed himself as a dictator for life. Well, there's no political wrangling to happen. That way, it's going to be difficult to make a political decision. What you're looking at now is it all happens on the street. All right, so, Boomer, let's take the break right now, brother. We'll come right back. This is fascinating to me. I hope it is to you. China is imploding right now. How far will it go? I don't know. But in a minute, I'm going to start telling you some of the things that are happening to actual people on the streets. Some of the word is getting out. What are we seeing? What are we hearing? Wow. To me, it's just fascinating. And this is the country that is supposed to be our number one contender on the world stage. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. I love that bump. That's my favorite, man. I just have to sit there and let it play for a second. Good stuff. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in number one of the triple dipper, China imploding. So I'm trying to lay the foundation here for why this topic is so important. I mean, to me, on a foreign policy scale, and I'm they're not calling me on Fox News to come give commentary on foreign policy, but foreign policy, I love the look at what's happening around the world sometimes, getting outside of our own borders and thinking through how does that impact us. Well, this could have a huge impact on us, what's happening in China. I also believe that what's happening in Ukraine is something that has long-standing ramifications that go way beyond whether or not Ukraine just wins. I mean, I'm very concerned about Ukraine and the amount of money we're sending over there with the lack of accountability. I want that tracked down. I want the level of accountability we should have had on every U.S. dollar that went over. But I will say this, if we don't see Putin stopped there, then we're looking at not just Eastern Europe. We're looking at the Baltics. We're looking at encroachments further against NATO. We're looking at it's where would it stop? I don't think he just wants Ukraine. I think he wants the old Soviet empire. So there's one major foreign policy story that we've unpacked at length on times of the show. But right now what's happening in China, on the world stage, ain't nobody considered more of our adversary than China. If I had to pick the big four, you're looking at North Korea, which is really, it's a nuclear-powered toothless tiger. I mean, North Korea does not have the economy or the social will, I think, to actually go into a ground war, but they're crazy. I mean, crazy as a jackrabbit on speed. They're just crazy. So you got to watch North Korea at all times. Then there's Iran. Iran is crazy evil. Crazy evil trying to get nukes, and Biden's the only thing standing between us and that? Wow. All right, there's that. Exporters of terrorism? Wow. And then on top of that, you got Russia. Russia has proven itself to be somewhat of a bear with old teeth, if you know what I'm saying. We're not seeing what we thought the Russian bear had, but we're still seeing a Russian bear that is willing to step on somebody else's territory and do what it wants to do. And they don't care about force on force. They're willing to destroy a people and a culture if that's what it takes to get what they want. But the other one, the one who is the most calculating, the one who has the most unknowns, the one who is willing to take every step of using the acronym DIME, all the diplomacy, the informational or intelligence, the military, and the economic power it's got, and put it into what we call the long game, which is like playing chess. That's China. So China right now is considered our biggest near-peer adversary. And China is going through social upheaval like we have not seen. What an opportunity to watch something happen. So what else is happening? So CNN's got an article here, came out when? Today. China's lockdown protest, what you need to know, it says. So number one, let me tell you what the flashpoint was. COVID lockdowns were getting old. They were already seeing occasional dissent. There were people beginning to do onesies and twosies type protests, but then this happened. Just last week, in the city of Urumqi, I believe it's called, there was a deadly fire in an apartment building. Remember I told you a while ago about social lockdowns. 14 days to flatten the curve times 4 years. It's bigger than that. The people in this apartment building, the authorities had locked and chained all the doors so the people could not leave, and the building caught fire. The firemen who responded to the scene, it spent 3 hours trying to access the fire points to bring relief. 10 people, including a 3-year-old child, died in that fire. Why? Because they had the doors to the building chained so the people could not leave because the authorities said that's the way to handle a COVID lockdown. Chained them inside a building, and when the fire broke out on the upper floors, the people were trapped and they couldn't leave. That's inexcusable. Well, the word got out. So at least 10 people died, maybe more. Public fury, according to CNN. Videos of the incident began to get out. People began to see it. The city had been under lockdown, complete lockdown, for 100 days. Close to a third of a year, they had been on total lockdown. Residents unable to leave the region, many of them forced to stay in their homes. The ones who died in the fire were actually chained inside their homes. So the protest began. CNN has now verified that over 20 demonstrations have taken place so far across 15 Chinese cities, including the capital of Beijing and the financial center of Shanghai. And by Sunday evening, mass demonstrations have spread not just to Beijing, but also to Chengdu, Guangzhou, and Wuhan, where thousands of residents called for an end to COVID. But more remarkably, the people aren't just calling for an end to, COVID restrictions. They're not just calling for an end to COVID restrictions. They're on the streets, and the things they're chanting for are freedoms. They're not just saying, we want you to stop COVID lockdowns. We want to go back to the way it was before COVID. They're not saying that. They're saying, we want freedom. We want to govern ourselves. We want Xi to be gone. We want the Communist Party to be gone. That's why this has taken on a new flavor. How far will it go? I don't know. But it's the first time we've seen this. So CNN goes ahead and points out, why is this so significant? Because public protest is so rare in China. You can't protest. The Communist Party has such a grip on all aspects of life in China that you can have people show up, please show up at your door. It's because you said something on social media incorrectly. And they've got a mass surveillance system where they literally keep all your biometric data. And they can scan you from a camera from afar and then show up at your house because they recognized you. Well, it's getting worse. The internets are censoring. And folks, when I come back and tell you some of the things people are putting up with over there, it's going to curl your hair. Y'all stay tuned. China imploding. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two, local, state, national, international. Man, we cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, unpacking this whole scenario we've got going on right now in China. I'm calling this section China imploding. And I don't know that I could paint it strong enough as a situation that if you are at all inclined to think outside the borders of the United States, to watch issues of foreign policy, this is one to watch. Why? Because there are times when moments like this can be exploited, for one, just being very candid there. There are times when you look at a foreign nation and you go, what can we do to help that happen? There are other times when you also have to speak to the situation that alone can provide a level of encouragement or discouragement to those who are rallying for liberties and for freedoms. And we're not seeing a lot of that. But let me tell you some things that are happening. I told you that just a moment ago before we went to the break, if you didn't hear it, that what really sparked the true protests that we're seeing, the ones that are, you know, have thousands of people in the street calling for political change, was a deadly fire in the city of Urumqi, the capital of northwest China's Xinjiang region. I'm looking at a story here from Channel News Asia, dated today. It says that was the catalyst for the public anger, with many blaming the COVID-19 lockdowns for hampering the rescue efforts. You think? I mean, the people were chained in their apartment building because of a 100-day straight civil lockdown. People weren't allowed to leave their homes, and they're chained in. So what are you supposed to do when the building catches fire? You're not even allowed to leave to get groceries or go to work. You can't go check on your elderly grandma. You can't go outside and get some fresh air. None of it. Because if you do, you're considered a violator. Well, protesters, it says, have been using these calls for greater freedoms with even some demanding the resignation of President Xi, who recently appointed himself to a historic third term as China's leader. Large crowds gathered Sunday in Beijing and Shanghai. They clashed with police. The BBC said one of its journalists had been arrested and beaten by police. So foreign journalists, those that are there, are at great risk because the Chinese government doesn't want the word getting out. And so if they're already in country, if they're like a foreign correspondent embedded in China and they go to report in the streets, they run the risk of getting detained, getting beaten like the guy from BBC did. President Joe Biden, though, what were his comments? Well, it's said that he's monitoring the unrest closely. Okay. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby would not describe Biden's reaction to the protesters' demand, but said the president supported their rights. Okay. What does that mean? The new British Prime Minister, his name is Rishi Sunak, warned that China posed a systemic challenge to UK's values, and as his government was condemning the recent beating of a BBC reporter, he went on to say, the Prime Minister did, the so-called golden era of UK-China relations, trumpeted by one of his former prime ministers, was now over, along with the naive idea that trade would automatically lead to social and political reforms. In other words, they're not buying it. Britain is speaking stronger than America on this one. Britain is saying, you know what? Apparently working with you, China, does nothing. It doesn't do any good at all to hope for you to change because we are willing to have relations with your country. That's what they're saying. So what about on social media? How are they getting the word out? I mean, how are people talking to each other over there if they're locked down? Well, they do have social media. They do have the ability to do some things, but the Chinese government is cracking down on it like you wouldn't believe. I mean, like, you think that Twitter censors things over here. So here's a story on a website called Observers France 24. It says those who don't wear masks in public, this is dated last week, November 21st, those who don't wear masks in public face serious consequences. In Hong Kong, footage on social media shows police using pepper spray on foreigners after being caught not wearing masks in the metro area. Another published on the same day shows a foreigner in Beijing being arrested for not wearing a mask outside. Footage taken in the southern city of Guangzhou on 17 November shows two women being tied up and left sitting on their knees in the street after they reportedly tried to pick up a takeout meal without wearing their masks. Yeah, this is what life is like in China right now. Drones, it says, have been used to enforce coronavirus measures across China, as images online illustrate. One video of a drone being used in Hunan province was published on Twitter on November 20th. By the way, if you want to see it, just go to YouTube, or for that matter, just go to Google and type in Chinese drones COVID and see what you get. I watched one this morning, Chinese drones flying over streets in, I think it was Shanghai, spraying some kind of a so-called disinfectant. We don't know what they're spraying. And by the way, what a great way to test the use of drones in chemical warfare. Oh, look at that. How well do these work in an urban environment? Can we get them to tight places? Can we spray people? Can we fly over people and actually spray them? Can we? And yes, you can. So what a great way to beta test an opportunity to use drones for chemical warfare. Yeah. What you got, bud?
Not only like the chemical warfare, but can't all the drones, they all have cameras, right?
Oh, yeah.
As well?
Oh, yeah. They're using their biometric data on people left and right with drones right now. They're flying over crowds, scanning, and then running it through their databases to see if they pick up any facial matches.
Wow.
And then going and knocking on their doors. That's one of the stories I'm about to get to here in a minute.
Didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. See, that's what this is. You're anticipating because you know that possibility exists. Well, so do they, and they're doing it.
Man.
Story that I've got here also went on to say, on November 1st, a 3-year-old boy died of carbon monoxide poisoning after his father's request for help to an emergency hotline were refused because they lived in a zone that had COVID cases. So, in other words, 911, so to speak, services are being restricted if you're in a hot zone. Good luck. Hope you don't die. It says the death stirred public outrage on social media. In response, the authorities promised to try and learn from their painful lessons. Here's the thing. We're going to get to this more in a minute. The policy has had devastating economic costs. See, China's doing this to themselves. In an effort to maintain control and show who's in charge around here, so to speak, China is shutting down its own economy. It's amazing to watch. And this has never been more apparent, this article says, than when the world's largest iPhone factory. Oh, look. Apple has the world's largest iPhone factory in Xingzhou, China, where they forced the staff to lock down at the factory after a COVID outbreak. No one was allowed to go home. Videos shared online showed workers trying to flee the factory after the announcement in an attempt to escape the quarantine as the gates were being locked. I'm telling you, it's amazing to watch some of this unfold. But an article here on National Review says, so why did this come as a surprise? How did this boom, all of a sudden we're seeing protests? Like, where'd it come from? Well, first of all, it comes from a populace that's been beaten down and they're sick of it. Secondly, it comes, and this article points it out, National Review dated yesterday, why the Chinese protests came as a surprise. It also points out that one expert says this is what authoritarian regimes do. They lie about the conditions so the outside world doesn't see it until it just explodes and they can't contain it anymore. It's just like an eruption. It just happens. But what you didn't see happening under the surface was what they were trying to deny existed to the world. It says in 1988, it points out here, the Federal Research Division published a nearly 500-page country study on East Germany. At no point in that report did anyone ever sense that 1 year later, East Germany would no longer be existing as a country because the people rose up and overthrew the East German authorities and tore down the wall. So 1 year before that, we were writing papers about, the 500-page country study on East Germany, and here's the things to watch out for, and yada, yada, yada. Bam, they disappeared. What just happened? Didn't see that coming. In 1992, it says political revolutions unavoidably continued to catch the world by surprise, and that's a year of upheaval. Most stories, it says, of how revolutions happen, that some set of necessary conditions must be obtained. In other words, you have to have an economic downturn, a loosening control of the military police, a brewing ethnic strife. Something has to happen. But then on top of that, you have to have a catalyst. You have to have that moment. That's why some are saying the issue of what happened in that apartment complex in Urumqi where the people died because they were chained in the building in a COVID lockdown is a flashpoint. All right. What's our government saying? I'm telling you what's happening on the streets. What's our government saying about this? Paul from Athens is saying Biden apparently is taking a nap. I see it. Well, I'll tell you what. Know this. it's significant enough. And by the way, Boomer, tell him that we're going to have to go to a break here, so he's going to have to know that. But I see a caller coming in. But here's the deal. The U.S. Embassy in China has now issued a statement to all U.S. citizens in the country. They need to keep a 14-day supply of their medications, bottled water, and food for themselves because they could wind up being caught up in circumstances that do not allow them to get out and get the things they need. Huh. In other words, have your go bag ready and supplies in the house because a zombie apocalypse is coming, is what they're saying. Zombie. So anyway, here's the statement actually issued by the ambassador. The People's Republic of China authorities have expanded the COVID-19 prevention restrictions and control measures as outbreaks occur. These measures may include residential quarantines, mass testings, closures, transportation disruptions, lockdowns, and possible family separations. Ambassador Burns and other mission officials have regularly raised our concern with PRC officials. We will continue to do so. Another State Department official went on to say, I think this is a message, actually a former State Department official, said, I think this is a message to U.S. citizens in China. The State Department believes that some of the measures and the crackdowns by China could result in further lockdowns and even travel bans, and they may get stuck. There's that. Boomer, let's do this. I've got a sound clip that we're going to come back to here in a minute from Gordon Chang, a renowned expert on China. We're going to hear what he had to say about how our government is responding to this. But in the meantime, let's take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one of the tipper. Closing down the segment here, but man, I'm telling you, this is key. China imploding. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're in number one of the Triple Dipper, believe it or not, 3:23 p.m. and still moving on China imploding. We're going to take a little bit more time on this. Y'all, if I got a caller on the line, I do, don't I? Yeah, line one. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Doing great, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, man?
Oh, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was lower key than usual. It was really just a few of us this time because we got folks kind of spread out, but it was good. How about you?
Yeah, oh yeah, my second or third time, you know, going here, there, and yonder. I gained a few pounds, I think, you know.
That's right.
I guess, you know, it's going to be fun to kind of watch you do these push-ups here for a long time. I can't really do a push-up anymore. I do more of a push-out, push away from the table when I get done eating.
Yeah, get in there and exercise that dinner muscle and then do your push-outs. That's right.
Yeah, got to see how this old ranger does, huh?
That's right. We'll get some. I guess I have to do it for the cameras on the live stream here, I guess, is what we're talking about. But, yeah. What do you think, man? China, you tracking this topic?
I think you need to watch this because this is a precursor to what we're going to be for long.
Oh.
As soon as you lose that Second Amendment right that Biden's trying to take away from everybody, we're going to be in the same boat as Chinese. You don't think Fauci would like to do exactly? He salivates over what they're doing over there. He's licking his lips going, gosh, I wish I could do that here.
Yeah, everything he wished he could have done during 14 days to flatten the curve times 50, China's doing. I mean, I thought Australia was bad, though. Australia did have a lot of heavy-handed lockdowns, and New Zealand also. But, man, China, beyond the pale. It's just amazing what they're doing. Chaining people in their apartment buildings. What the heck?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe instead of giving arms to the over there in the Ukraine, we might need to start handing out arms to the Chinese. I think they're probably in worse shape than what they are.
Yeah, the question is, how do we get them to them? I think, you know, right now, at the very least, give them a dose of encouragement. But we're really seeing a pretty tepid response from the U.S. government right now. It's kind of like, wow, that's happening. Hey, good luck to you, fellas. That's not really much of a response.
Just remember, this is what tyranny looks like when people are unarmed.
Yeah.
And so if you ever, you know, think about, you know, getting rid of the Second Amendment, you know, all those idiots out there who think that, this is what you'll see. If you like what's going over in China, then you'll get a good dose of that.
Yeah, and by the way, if you don't think it matters that you're allowed to assemble or have freedom of speech, look at what's happening in China. I mean, wow.
Yeah. I mean, we're going that way now. Look how speech has been, you know, they're going after people saying things and stuff, and the news cycle, you know, the news sources. I mean, they're all basically trying to hush everybody up and lie to you. And so, I mean, you know, we're seeing it happen right here in much lesser dose, but they're you know, that's the way they're wanting to go. So if people need to wake up, they need to actually become woke instead of being asleep like they are now.
It's a different kind of woke. It's a real woke. It's the original version of woke that needs to happen. Exactly. All right, Jeff. Well, be careful on the road, brother. Where are you at right now?
I'm just south of Nashville here, running through this nice little rain shower that you're going to get here in a little while if you ain't already got it.
Oh, yeah. So now we describe that as south of Nashville, north of Bucky's. Is that right?
South of Nashville, about 40 miles.
Yeah. All right, man. Be careful. You have a good night. We'll see you, buddy. Hey, Boomer, I tell you what, man. I think we have time for it. I want to do this clip of Gordon Zhang. You got that audio clip? I think we have time, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's do this. It's about a minute. Gordon Chang is one of the, you know, most renowned experts on China policy. He had some things to say about our tepid response. Go ahead and play that clip.
Unrest at the same time. Now, is it possible? I don't think you win revolutions with slingshots, but is it possible President Xi has to worry about his regime?
I think he certainly does, because the protesters on the Chinese streets over the weekend were not only saying that Xi Jinping must step down, they were saying that the Communist Party has to leave China because the Chinese people want to govern themselves. And that is revolutionary. And right now, the Communist Party is rounding up people because China has maybe 620 million surveillance cameras. It has artificial intelligence, facial recognition, which, by the way, they got from Microsoft and others. And they can identify all of these people. You know, it is the number one job of an American president to clearly and proudly defend and promote freedom and democracy. And we didn't hear that from John Kirby. We didn't hear it from President Biden's statement. Shame on us, because these are our values. And when we don't promote our values, the Chinese notice.
When we don't promote our own values, the Chinese people notice. When they say, hey, America, you're supposed to be that country that believes in certain things, and you're not even hardly saying anything about what's happening to us over here. I mean, it's not like we're saying, let's send tanks over there and help support the Chinese people. We're not doing that. But at the very least, you look at it and go, hey, maybe we ought to make a more bold statement. Maybe we ought to say something like the British just said about how the golden era of Chinese relations is over. But no, we're doing the, we believe in the right to peacefully assemble. That's about as far as it goes so far. All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up when we get back. I'm going to tell you, all you iPhone users, I'm a Droid guy, by the way, but all you iPhone users, you may want to hear how Apple is helping the Chinese government keep its people cracked down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking this show covers some ground across the northern part of our state, down south of Birmingham, all the way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I forget, thanks to John from Huntsville who let me know that we're already seeing some pretty severe weather in the Huntsville area. Y'all stay safe tonight. Have your weather plan in place. Be aware that you might have to track the status as you may have to go out or if you're going to work later or whatever. So just, severe weather. They're saying it could be high winds, possible tornadoes, hail. Just depends on where you are, but keep a track on the weather across the northern part of the state as it sweeps through from Mississippi even now as we speak. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in this number one of the triple dipper, China imploding, about to kind of wrap it down. Hey, Boomer, if calls come in, make sure they stay on topic, man. I want to talk this one through and move it right on. The bottom line is this. What is happening in China is an orchestrated effort, but there are some assets to the Chinese government that come straight from the United States, Apple being among them. In fact, even as we speak, apparently Governor Ron DeSantis just called out Apple hard. I just retweeted it on my own Twitter feed. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @Sen, that's S-E-N, @Sen Phil Williams. I just retweeted it myself a moment ago. I literally during the break saw that the governor was just out there saying, you know, calling out Apple and the Chinese Communist Party. Police are actually stopping, according to Reuters, Dateline yesterday, police are actually stopping people on the street demanding to see their phones, checking their phones for certain things. One of the things they're checking is for see if they have access to VPNs, virtual private networks, because people are doing that to be able to trade information. They're also checking to see if they have the Telegram app, which I'm not super familiar with, but it's basically an information sharing opportunity. Telegram has already been banned in China, and they're literally seizing phones, checking them. Over here in the United States, that requires a subpoena, by the way. That requires a warrant. You can't just grab somebody's phone in the street and say, give me your phone, and begin checking through it. State media did not mention the protests, though, instead urging citizens in their editorials to stick to the COVID-19 rules. Many analysts say China is unlikely to reopen before next spring. The demonstrations, one expert says, do not imminently threaten the existing political order, but they do mean the current COVID policy mix is no longer politically sustainable. And so, police seizing phones. Well, why does that matter? Well, first of all, the world's largest iPhone manufacturer, one of the flashpoints in the COVID protests that we've just been seeing, is in, I think it's Guangzhou, China. Huh, really? And guess what Apple's been doing? Oh, I don't know, making it easier for the Chinese government, apparently. So, story here on townhall.com. Speaking of phones, new reporting reveals that Apple is the latest to rush to the CCP's rescue just ahead of the fledgling uprising that has caused protests in various cities. Those speaking out against the Chinese government are finding themselves without a key method of sharing information, thanks to Apple's decision to limit the ability of iPhone users in China to pass files from device to device, bypassing the CCP's sensors and surveillance state. In other words, Apple, well, let me just read it to you. This is maddening. You know, unlike Elon Musk, who just made his Starlink satellite internet capability available to everybody in Ukraine because they needed it to get their word out, Apple's making it harder. Says, as Yahoo Finance noted, Apple's decision for users in China means the country's most widespread show of public dissent in decades will have to manage without a crucial communication tool because Apple restricted its use earlier this month. In China. Only in China. The report explains further how Apple pushed a software update for its handsets in China that kneecapped a key means of spreading information. So here's the deal. All of you guys that are out there using your big iPhone users, you know Apple has AirDrop. It's a file sharing feature on iPhones and other Apple devices. AirDrop is a significant opportunity for people to trade information back and forth and get their videos to someone else who can then get it out to somebody else. It's been helping the protesters in authoritarian countries everywhere. It's been helping them in China because AirDrop relies on direct connections between phones. You can bypass the network devices where the sensors are. Except in China, there was a update that was pushed out with no explanation. Hey, everybody needs to download this update, iOS 16.1.1. But for some reason, iOS 16.1.1, which went to iPhone users worldwide, it didn't tell you that embedded within that update was a change that only applies to iPhones sold in mainland China, where AirDrop can now only be sent to receive messages for about 10 minutes and it switches itself off and can no longer be used. Since there's no longer a way to keep the everyone setting on permanently on Chinese iPhones, it was first noticed by Chinese readers of the 9-to-5 Mac. It doesn't apply anywhere else. So bottom line is Apple won't respond to requests for comments on why it did this. But the end result is this. Their largest manufacturing capability is in China. Their iPhone factory just had a major riot. Their people are being locked down in the factory for Apple in Guangzhou. And now Apple has issued an update so that all phones in China can no longer share data the way they used to. Why? Who does that help? Not the people. It helps the Communist Party. So what are they doing? How are they? They're not allowed to, by the way, they're not allowed to have slogans. Slogans are verboten over there. You cannot go out on the street with a slogan that says, like, you know, hashtag down with Xi. You can't do that. It's against the law. So what are they doing? They're holding up blank white paper. That's become the symbol of protest. Is blank white paper. No slogans, just a piece of blank white paper. It's become such a thing that this is even being called the white paper revolution. Wall Street Journal has an article, a Dateline yesterday. New symbol of protest in China roils the censors, blank white paper. They don't know what to do with it. So now what they're having to do is scan the internet, and literally the state-sponsored censors are deleting from the internet pictures of people holding blank white paper. And so they're getting clever. They're starting to do things like just posting pictures of a box of blank paper, telling people where they can go buy more paper. You got one paper company that was being persecuted because it was said that they were canceling their sales. No, they're not. They came out very quickly and said, no, we're not. All said and done, the BBC also reports police are knocking on people's doors, coming to their homes because they were recognized on the street, stressing that they can't do that anymore and being told that they're having to, you know, be detained and questioned. One Beijing protester told Reuters, we're all desperately deleting our chat history on our phones. It's real. It's happening right now. And it's happening within the boundaries of what people say is our near-peer adversary in the world stage, China, imploding. How far will it go? I don't know. One expert says this could mean the end of Xi. I don't think so. I think what it really means, though, is, like one other expert said, their COVID lockdown policies have become politically unsustainable. They can't keep doing this. And they're going to have to find the easy way to save face and begin working their way out of it. And it's going to be messy for a while. And our government is sitting back and saying, huh, look at that, and really not saying much about it. Meanwhile, Apple is benefiting from it and helping the Chinese government. Well, there you go. There's an hour and 10 minutes on China imploding. Longer than I would normally do a segment. I just felt like there was so much that needed to be unpacked. It was worth it. Boomer, let's take a break about 3 minutes early here. Let's do that right now, and I'll switch gears as soon as we get back. We'll do that and move to number two on the Triple Dipper. Number two on the Triple Dipper. Environmental justice. Did you know the Green New Deal is to fight racism? Yeah, that's where billions of your tax dollars are going. Y'all stand by. This one might just make you mad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.